Pennsylvania has been a battleground state in presidential election for years, but this year the battle has begun earlier with the fight over the Democratic nomination. On this week's States of the Union, we look at what issues are important to voters in the Keystone State, and joining me now are Thomas Fitzgerald, politics reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer, and Tom Barnes, Harrisburg bureau chief for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. I'm very pleased to welcome them to this week's States of the Union. Hello.
Hello.
And do you mind if I call one of you Thomas and one of you Tom?
Just That's fine with me.
Okay. This is the first time since 1976 that the state's primary has been this important. Have Pennsylvanians been enjoying the attention that the primary has received?
I would say so, at least for the first 2 weeks anyway. Yeah. Now, I'm starting to see some columnists here, at least in the mid-state area, that are saying enough already. But no, it's all last fall there was some talk about moving the Pennsylvania primary up to like February 5th or February 12th. In fact, the governor, Rendell, really wanted to do that, but the legislature didn't, and so we thought, oh, well, we're going to be irrelevant again. So I think on the whole, we're enjoying all this national attention.
And since November, about 300,000 Pennsylvanians have registered to vote, so do you think we'll see a record turnout on Tuesday?
Probably. Pretty much, I would think. If judging by everything I've read in the paper and heard on TV and radio and on the blogs and everything, people are revved up, and I can't imagine they wouldn't go out to vote.
Now, Tom, James Carville once described the political layout of Pennsylvania.
I was thinking about that.
Yeah, he said it's, and I'm paraphrasing, Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, and Alabama in between. It sounds
a little harsh, I thought.
Is it? But there's some truth to it?
Well, you know, God, guns, and things are very important, and I'm not putting them down when I say that. But the gun control folks are very big, and they call it the T between, if you draw a vertical line in the middle of the state and then a horizontal line all the way across, like from where I-80 goes through, they call that the T. It's you know, mostly white, mostly rural. The gun rights and religion and things are very important to the folks.
Not those bitter folks that Barack Obama was talking about. 46% of Pennsylvania voters own guns.
Yeah, I think either we or Texas have the most registered gun owners. It's like a million or more. So, yeah, it's, you know, Carville was, he was exaggerating, but there's a lot of truth to what he said.
And then yesterday, a judge temporarily blocked Philadelphia's ability to enforce its strict gun laws. So we're talking about a lot of diversity in the state.
Maybe Thomas could talk about that.
Sure.
He obviously knows way more about Philly than I do.
Did that come as a surprise?
No, that's not a surprise whatsoever. Philadelphia is, you know, there are probably good reasons of law, too, to avoid chaos and, like, 150 different gun laws, but Philadelphia has tried for at least the last 15 years to enact some of its own restrictions on guns and has been consistently blocked by the courts and even prohibit. There was even an enacted prohibition by the legislature saying you cannot do anything about guns, which I believe is what the city's in violation of.
Now, why has there been so much focus on the suburbs of Philadelphia? These were counties that once were reliably Republican. Are they no longer?
They've been in national elections for president and U.S. Senate, statewide national office. They've been behaving Democratic since 92. George H.W. Bush carried them. And their behavior's been gradually changing, and now, with the surge of registrations that Tom Barnes mentioned, the Republicans had always had a numeric advantage in registration. That's gone now through most of the suburbs. The Democrats are narrowly ahead, so it's changing. In fact, a lot of political demographers believe that Carville's thing is rapidly becoming obsolete, and that within, you know, maybe this might be the last election where we're really a swing state, and that if trends continue, you know, it'll tilt slightly toward the east and will become more New Jersey-like than Ohio-like.
Well, the state, and this covers much of the state, is probably more unionized than most. Tom, how come that hasn't played out in politics?
Well, I mean, I know more about the western half of the state than the eastern half, but it's been well documented that since like the late 70s, early 80s, when the steel mills and other heavy manufacturing industries started going out of Pittsburgh in the southwest, that the unions, while still powerful, you know, they're not as much of a factor. I can remember when I was younger than anything about the steel, you know, the United Steelworkers was automatic front page news in our paper, and now not so much.
But 30% of the state's voter households are union households. That's a lot. That's nearly one third.
Well, you know, politically, that you might think they would be Democratic, but you know, in a lot of ways, like I was talking about with the guns, and they're socially they're conservative.
So this is like a Thomas Frank situation when he's talking about Kansas.
Yeah, I would think so.
Now, some estimates have it that Pennsylvania has lost 200,000 jobs. Another 286,000 are vulnerable. I would think that would be one of the major issues in the state.
I think it is. I called three of my pollster friends this morning just in preparation for this, and they said that their polls are all showing the economy as the number one issue, and that's obviously a broad term, but jobs, unemployment, you know, gasoline prices, the housing crisis, pocketbook issues, higher prices for food, and protests by truckers, and all of that seems to be polling as the number one issue.
Is the sentiment protectionist?
I think so, to a certain degree. It's just that this gasoline thing is just, you know, it's never stopping, and it's just going up and up, and people are, I don't know, they're just almost in a panic mode at some point because they just feel so helpless.
Now, both of you suggested that perhaps in November, Pennsylvania won't be the kind of battleground state it's been in the past. Is that because things have been changing since the Clinton years, or because things have been changing during the Bush administration?
It's accelerated during the Bush administration. Things have been slowly changing, and as the Republican Party became more dominated by the Southern right wing and religious conservatives, the suburban voter got scared off.
But wouldn't John McCain appeal to some of the people who were turned off?
No, I was saying that Pennsylvania will be less competitive in future. It'll be more reliably blue or deeper purple or whatever you want to call it in future elections. But in this election, because of the unique circumstance of having John McCain on the ballot, the Republicans should be very competitive in 08, or, you know, at least have a chance.
Now, Tom, Harrisburg is located in the middle of that Alabama part of the state that James Carville talked about. Do Democrats get much support there?
Not really. What I was told by one of my political consultant friends is that he's looking for a line. It would be kind of from the northeast down to the southwest as far as Hillary goes. She should do well there. I'm guessing that's going to skip Harrisburg, but in like Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, that's fairly reliably Democratic, and down through Johnstown and Altoona, down to Pittsburgh, she should do well there. As far as McCain, he's going to do pretty well in the T, which I include Harrisburg in this T in Pennsylvania, and I think McCain will be a good candidate for the Republicans, unless the Democrats are so split and so divided. If they go to their meeting in Denver this summer and they just come out of it really divided, I still think that whoever the Democratic candidate is will win Pennsylvania. It's going to be close though. I mean, I would not. I agree with Tom Fitzgerald that you know, McCain has a shot, but probably it will be Democratic.
My guests are Tom Barnes, reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette in their Harrisburg bureau, and Thomas Fitzgerald, politics reporter at the Philadelphia Inquirer. We're looking at Pennsylvania in today's States of the Union. Wednesday's debate got very high ratings in the Philadelphia area. As we've said, it's a heavily Democratic city, and polls show that as many as 12% of the state's voters are still undecided. Do you think that the debates had any impact on that?
It's really hard. It's very hard to say. The debate couldn't have been very enlightening to an undecided voter.
Well, Barack Obama's supporters feel that the debate was skewed in Hillary Clinton's favor. Would that have a positive or a negative effect on voters in Philadelphia? Has polling been done in the aftermath to even find out that sort of thing?
No, I mean, people might be in the field now, but nothing's been released. You know, in the public polls, I'm sure the campaigns have tracking that would pick it up, but I haven't seen any evidence. It was a big audience. It did beat American Idol in this market.
Wow!
Did it really?
Yeah. But I tend.
But they should have a vote at the end, as they do in American Idol.
Maybe they should have. Just get it over with. But the fact, I tend to believe about debates, unless there's like a
fist fight or something.
A fist fight or a Soviet domination of Eastern Europe or you know, Gerald Ford's infamous slip. It probably reinforced the lines that were already drawn for most people.
You don't think that voters were swayed by the fact that Barack Obama doesn't wear a lapel pin with a flag on it?
I hope not.
I think people that are concerned about the flag pin issue were, in all likelihood, never going to consider Barack Obama anyway for a variety of reasons.
Well, I thought it was interesting that a lot of people thought the questioners or the media in general was hard on Obama, because I've been hearing, particularly from Governor Ed Rendell, who's a supporter of Hillary, every time we have a press conference, he whines about how the media is too tough on Hillary and they're giving Obama a free pass. So hearing the opposite the other day, maybe it was, makeup timers. I don't know.
Maybe. But, you know, I mean, the media have been roundly mocked by the Clinton side and Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, the Saturday Night Live thing was great, yeah.
Well, maybe Tina Fey will do another one, a follow-up. Do you think that Barack Obama will be hurt by his refusal to use street money in Philadelphia? First of all, maybe, Thomas, you can explain what street money is.
Street money is it's perfectly legal, although, you know, there are debates over whether it's ethical. But
is this unique to Philadelphia?
No, well, it's kind of a disappearing thing, but it's not unique. It shows up in Louisiana. I covered politics in Louisiana before, and it shows up there.
What's it supposed to be for like buying gas to take voters to the polls?
Yeah, it well, right.
Not buying votes.
It's to supposedly the committee people, the poll watchers, the people that knock and drag, you know, get out voters who drive the vans. Mm-hmm. It's to compensate them for their, you know, taking a day off work to work the election.
So ward leaders will get upset because they're not getting that little percentage.
Yeah, certain ward leaders. And of course, the prevalence of it happens in all wards in the city, but it's more of a fact of life in the poorer wards, which in this city tend to be African American, and that's where Obama needs a good vote. But I really think it's kind of an insult to the voters to believe it'll be a huge factor, because there's so much attention and excitement around this presidential campaign that most folks are not going to be, you know, directed by their local committee person or board leader.
A recent Quinnipiac University poll indicated, as you said, the economy was the top issue, but that was followed by the war in Iraq and health care.
That's what I was been told, right.
And Pennsylvania's number three in the country in U.S. troop deaths in Iraq, 184
yeah, there's been
dead
a lot
so far. So is that the reason it's a big issue, or are there other reasons?
Well, that's certainly one of the reasons. It's big. I think also the cost of the war, which I don't have, but I know it's in the billions of dollars, I think that has...
I think we're talking trillion.
Trillion.
Trillion,
okay. Trillion.
That certainly, I think, has diverted the federal government's ability to pay for a lot of, you know, other things, maybe road repairs, and, I mean, just all kinds of things. And they're beginning to wonder, you know, all these deaths and... What's the point anymore?
Pennsylvania is the sixth largest state in the country, but it's also has the slowest population growth of any major state. And
that's because we're old.
And yeah,
it's
third highest old. Percentage of seniors. What's going on there? I would assume that would also make Medicare an important issue, and often education becomes an important issue when seniors are voting.
I certainly think Medicare is an important issue. I mean, I know the seniors complain about property taxes going up because they say, you know, I haven't had any kids in school for a long time. But I mean, you know, seniors they're very outspoken. They know what they want. They, you know, they don't take any guff, and they're certainly an important, I was going to say the most important single demographic group, if they're not number one in Pennsylvania, for you know what politicians pay attention to, they're either one or two, I would think.
Now, why?
Either one.
Now,
yeah.
Now, what's happening? Are people, younger people, moving out of the state?
They have to. Yeah, I mean, because job growth is not.
But I would think that there's an appeal as well. Pennsylvania has the second lowest income tax rate in the country. And at the same time, it has a $500 million surplus for this year. I don't know how they did that.
Well, the governor's very proud of that. well, I mean, if from the western part of the state, one reason is because so many jobs moved out. I mean, there's Steeler fans all across the country because they had to leave. And the steel mills went out of business and other heavy manufacturing. So the younger people had to move to other states to get jobs.
How much of an impact has the mortgage crisis had?
Not as much, I don't think. From what I've been reading, the our home prices, I think, have been, you know, a lot less expensive. I don't know about Philly. Maybe this may not be true in Philly, but for the most part of the state, I think the home prices have been fairly low, and the mortgages, I just don't think it's as abrupt to say maybe the East Coast or the West Coast.
The polls that have come out over the past week have been all over the place. Some have shown Hillary Clinton with a solid lead. Others are shown that they're dead even. Is that because of the volatility of the situation, or is it because polls have been proven to be more unreliable than we thought in the past? Do you have any sense of...
I think she's, from what I can tell, she's ahead maybe 4, 5, 6 points. You're right. They have shown different things, so I don't really have a whole lot of use for polls anyways. But, I mean, a month or so ago, she was, I guess Tom Fitzgerald went more than I do, it was in double digits, and everybody knew that, you know, it was going to, it always does narrow up. But I still think she's probably going to have a narrow win, but I'm not sure a narrow win's really going to be all that helpful to her.
I don't think a narrow win's going to be helpful. The bigger, the better, because really... the way the math and with proportional delegate math overall and the
yeah,
way
right.
they're awarded proportionally, the deficit's almost impossible to make up. What she needs is some kind of blowout here or, you know, I guess in Indiana, whatever.
Because of the psychological impact.
Yeah, the psychological effect to start a stampede among super delegates to sort of overturn the way this thing is hardened, and because they're afraid that Obama would get slaughtered in the fall.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us. Thomas Fitzgerald, politics reporter for the Philadelphia Inquirer. Mm-hmm. Tom Barnes, reporter for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Thank you for being on today's States of the Union.
Thanks for having me.
Pennsylvania.